Welcome back to Head Games with our own Monday morning quarterback, Leonard Dawson. Not a fun trip back from Cleveland yesterday, eh?
No, I saw a lot of long faces, particularly up in the first class section of the airplane. Of course, I sit in the back near the John back there. So
I wouldn't say, of course, a man of your stature.
Right. Anyway, I'm in the back, and I just didn't want to see the long faces anyway because there's some concern because they blew it. They blew the game. They had a 14-point lead with a little over 12 minutes to go. Looked like they had complete control of the contest, and all of a sudden the defense collapsed. Just not able to stop them. About in the last 12 minutes of the game, the total yardage-wise, they almost did as much in the last 12 minutes and then in overtime, about 18 minutes total, than they did prior to that in the whole game. And, that's something to say about the defense, that they just did not get the job done.
And you notice that when Wilkerson was injured, Ryan Sims, who's been a big disappointment, comes in, and all I could see was huge holes as he kept being pushed to his right. Is he done after this year?
After this year. How about after yesterday? I don't know. I know that there was an article in the paper, he was complaining about the fact that he wasn't starting and getting much playing time. When somebody starts complaining about that, you know, when you're in the heat of a playoff race with five games to go, you're not thinking about a team. You're thinking about yourself, and that does not help the football team. He got in there because Jimmy Wilkerson got hurt. It's not that Ryan Sim hasn't been playing. He's been in and out in most of the games, but hasn't been the starter and has not performed very well. And yesterday, didn't do much of anything because the quarterback, here's a team, Nick, that had been sacked, 19 times in the last four games. They've been sacked, quarterback's been sacked 43 times this year, which is a bunch. I think they're 31st in offense, and nobody got close to the quarterback until the end when a linebacker blitzed from the outside and was able to get a sack. But prior to that, they had all the time in the world back there. And that goes with the starting quarterback. Fry got hurt, and he's out of there. So they bring in Anderson, who hadn't taken a snap in the National Football League, and he's enjoying a great afternoon. I mean, he's back there looking around like, you know, hey, this is like out in the sandlot. Got plenty of time to throw the football.
Got plenty of time. Now, let me ask you that. There's some, as well as the offensive play, Gunther Cunningham, you would think, against a man who's never taken a snap in an NFL game, you're going to blitz him. There were almost no blitzes that fourth quarter.
Yes, I know. That's a big question, why? My only response would be that there must be some fear that the secondary could not guard the receivers. The receivers had a lot of separation, you know, between themselves and the defensive backs in that ball game, and with a lot of time to throw. Now, yeah, I think the afterthought, they probably should. Personally, what I would have done would have had all-out blitz right from the get-go against this young guy, and, you know, to try to confuse him. They did that against Rivers when San Diego came here. They did that against Cincinnati in the first game, at least initially, and they had some success doing that. But for some reason, they decided not to do that in the ball game yesterday. A lot of people are asking the same question you're asking, and I don't have the answer. Gunther Cunningham, who calls the defensive signals, will be the one that could have the answer.
Well, Trent Green is certainly one of the six or seven best quarterbacks in the NFL, but until he finds a way to not make some of those bonehead mistakes, not protecting the ball in the fourth quarter late. He's in the middle of traffic. He's not got two hands on the ball, just like Damon Heward against Seattle about a month ago. He allows himself to be hit. The ball is fumbled. I'm sorry. I don't understand why they have such a romance with Trent Green when he makes mistakes like that.
Well, I know that, you know, I do the radio broadcast, as you know, of the Chiefs, and the first thing I said when they got the ball back and that the game is tied, I said the one thing you cannot do, period, is give up the football. You got to protect the football, and here they go, bang. He gives up the football. They're fortunate that the quarterback for Cleveland made a mistake and tried to force a ball to a receiver, and Kavika Mitchell, the middle linebacker, intercepted it so that they didn't win the game in regulation. But Trent also had another play where he was throwing a deep fly pattern to Chris Wilson, and he put it on the line, and the coverage was very good. Instead of, you know, getting some air under that thing so it eventually could probably be a jump ball and so that the receiver, if he didn't catch it, he could make sure that the defender didn't intercept the thing. But he threw it on the line, and that was early on in the ball game, and that hurt too because it took away a chance to maybe put him away early.
Finally, at the end of regulation, Len, it looked very clearly, certainly it wasn't much more than a second, but it was probably 0.8 of a second, Tony Gonzalez gets out of bounds. I don't understand why it's not possible, using the technology they have, to question that call.
You're right, but as you know, that goes up in the booth in the last 2 minutes of the game. You can't challenge it. It goes upstairs to the people up there, and they took a look at it. And they felt that, you know, the time had expired. I go back to the pass itself. If the pass is really in rhythm with Gonzalez, he doesn't have to crawl to get out of bounds. He makes that catch and gets out of bounds, and they're going to have a second or two to kick, or at least attempt the field goal. The field goal would have been 58 yards, which is, as you know better than anybody, on a cold day like it was yesterday, the ball doesn't travel as far, but there was one thing. The wind would have been to the back of the kicker rather than in his face. So there's a chance he could have made it, but you know, that's you don't know that. But the thing is, there was more mistakes there, and there's a lot of question as to when Cleveland was driving down there to get the tying score, that Kansas City had three timeouts left, and they hadn't stopped them, you know, before. So what's to think that they're going to stop them?
Why didn't they call a timeout so they'd give themselves some time? Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and if they don't make it, that's fine. You've got time to run the ball, run out the clock too, you know, with a guy like Larry Johnson in the backfield. But those are all clock management things that people are asking questions, and I think they're good questions.
And I think it's looking bad for the Chiefs right now, although anything's possible. But, you know, speaking of anything being possible, and speaking of the wind being at your back as a kicker, I certainly understood what a difference that made, but there has been probably a better chance for kickers to hit long field goals this year than I've ever seen. And a man who is the man of the moment in many ways, who deserves to get some big-time credit, is Rob Baronis. Rob, thanks for joining us today from Tennessee.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Did you get any sleep last night?
Yeah, I kept the phone turned off and had some family and friends in town, hung out with them until they headed home.
Rob, awesome job the last 2 weeks. You know, a 49-yarder against the Giants would have been enough. Tell us what went through your mind and what you found out about the coach that made him change his mind and go for that field goal yesterday at the end of regulation.
You know, I was on the sideline getting ready to kick. I knew we were going to have the opportunity to get in that situation. Craig was just telling me, be ready, be ready, be ready. And, you know, when the time came down, I went out on the field. They called a field goal unit out, so we were kicking it, and once I was out there, I knew I had it. And when we took time out and we decided to punt, you know, I wanted to put the points on the board, but at the same time, we were playing for a field position if there was a miss. And they had Peyton Manning, the quarterback, and one timeout with plenty of time on the clock to make something happen. Coach knew what he was doing all along. They used up their timeout and put us back out there to take a shot at it.
So do you think in some ways that Tony Dungy made a tactical error?
I don't know. I get paid to put the ball through the uprights.
Yeah, we heard you, Len and I, I'm sure, heard you on ESPN today talking about if you start thinking like those reporters, you'd be in trouble. So what was going through your mind? Do you feel that you had more confidence having hit the ball well last week?
I mean, I've had confidence all along in the coaching staff here and the organizations and players have all had confidence in me. You go out there and you approach that just like any other kick, and you don't want to do anything different. You're going to end up pulling it or getting under it or hitting the line or what. You know, you want to kick it the same as you're going to kick. Maybe put a little more leg into it and give it a little bit more of a ride. But if you start thinking about stuff, then that's your enemy. So it's like
Leonard Dawson. Did you see that kick?
Yeah, I saw it on tape. Yes. Now here, you two kickers are yakking about kicking, right? I held, as you know, Nick, for 19 years. For two guys in the Hall of Fame, Lou Groza with Cleveland and Jan Stenerud with the Chiefs and Green Bay and Minnesota. And you try to tell me that you guys aren't thinking about all those things. You wake up in the morning of game day, you're thinking, look out the window the first thing to see what the weather is like. You know, and hopefully, you know, you'd like to play indoors all the time, so you don't have to worry about all those things.
Oh, you're right. I don't know if the whole the 60-yarder and the game winner, I don't know if all that's hit me yet. I mean, but you gotta go out there. It's you definitely know it. That it's a lot of times I don't know the distance till after I kick it. I try not to pay attention to all that. I try to go out there and hit the same ball every time. But same time, you know the situation, but you got to put that out of your mind, go out there and approach it like any other kick. Otherwise, you'll be looking for another job here soon if you start thinking about everything going on.
Rob, let's talk about Mr. Vanderjack and the guy who's demonstrated himself being one of the best kickers in the history of the game. What do you think's happened with him? I mean, how could he have lost that much confidence? A guy that, if I were the Washington Redskins and I'm thinking Vanderjack versus Novak, I'm going with Vanderjack every time.
You know, I don't know what's going on with Vanderjack right now. He obviously had some misses this year. He's still, you know, most consistent kicker in the NFL career-wise, and he's going through a rough time, and I'm sure he'll come out of it and be doing well when he gets back on track. But as far as what's going on, I don't know. That'd be a good question for Mike, but I don't know if he could answer that. You know, he just has to get through this time and get, you know, he'll land somewhere else and probably be back right on top.
It'll be the right kind of situation, and then he'll turn it around. But in the last minute we've got here, we want to thank you for joining us, Rob Baronis. But tell us about your team, a team that is 5-2, and just like the rest of this NFL season, it's one more team that has looked horrible at times, and now in the last month with Norm Chow and the new offense and Vince Young, you seem to have really found yourselves.
You know, we've really come together, and Vince is playing. I think he's getting off the leash a little, playing his ball, doing what he does best, and that's win games and lead us to the win. Defense is stepping up and making plays and stopping the opponents when needed, and special teams is out there making plays. We got a great coaching staff and a great bunch of guys here, and we're up and coming, and we're just showing everybody a little bit what we got. Too, it's unfortunate our couple losses, all except for three are in less than a touchdown. So, I mean, this year we could easily have a flipped record with just three losses, but we are where we are, and we'll keep pressing forward.
Well, you're in the right place, and we wish you luck the rest of the way, young man. Two of the best consecutive games in the history of the NFL for a kicker. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Good luck, my friend. That's Rob Baronis with the Tennessee Titans, a team that is on a roll. We'll be right back with Leonard Dawson, and we'll be joined by our very shy friend Sam Huff to talk about the Giants and talk about the rest of the NFL. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.